failed president who didn't get reelected. Bush is, in his famous nickname he gave himself, the decider. He decides everything quickly. He doesn't need a lot of information. He doesn't want to hear a debate. He doesn't review his decisions much after he's made them, and he doesn't change his mind.
Now, you mentioned Brent Scowcroft, and Brent Scowcroft has been opposed to the war in Iraq right from the start and has been pretty critical of President George W. Bush, even though he was a close advisor to President Bush's father. And you say that George W. Bush never really got along with Scowcroft, never really liked him?
Somehow. George W. has been very hostile to Brent Scowcroft for a long time. And it's funny, if you look at the people around his father and decided who are you likely to have a personality clash with, Brent Scowcroft would be at the bottom of the list because he's a very nice man, warm, easy to get along with, generous. James Baker, maybe you could understand, he's a little more abrasive. But somehow, George W. has, I think, made Brent Scowcroft into this figure of opposition, someone who embodies his father's views that he rejects, but to whom he doesn't owe the affection and loyalty he owes his father. But I think it's been mystifying to Scowcroft. Scowcroft doesn't talk openly about this because he's very loyal to the father and to the whole family. But there's this tremendous hostility he radiates towards Scowcroft. And there I have a couple of scenes in the book where essentially the father is trying to use Scowcroft to get a message through to the son, first about why he thought going to Iraq was a bad idea. I think Scowcroft was very much speaking for the father about that. And then after the war, about how maybe to reverse course and do something about the way Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, was mismanaging things. And Bush reacts with utmost hostility to Scowcroft's meddling intervention.
Let's talk a little bit about President Bush and religion. You say that religion is one of the places in which the younger Bush really differentiated himself from his father. You describe President Bush as having a theology free of content, but being sophisticated and artful at applying religion to politics. In what way do you see the president's theology as being free of content?
Well, it's a kind of... When I started the book, I thought, when I understand George Bush's religious ideas, when I understand what he believes, I'll be much closer to understanding his policy, why he's done what he's done, who he is. And I found just the opposite in a way, that when you tried to pin down George W. Bush's religious beliefs, there really weren't very many of them. He believes in God. He believes it's good to believe in God. He believes that faith saved his life, that it helped him turn his life around. He believes faith has this transforming power for other people. But what is the faith itself? It's not any particular revealed truth. And it certainly doesn't seem to have much impact on his specific decisions. I think when you look around for some sort of theological explanation of why he's invaded Iraq or why he's taken the position he has in the Arab-Israeli conflict, you don't find it. It's not there. And I think also when you look at what he said about his religion, you find some real paradoxes and some real distortions. But it's a paradox. It's sincere, he believes, but at the same time, it's very calculated politically.
What's an example of a story that he's told about his religious life that you think is distorted?
Well, my favorite is the famous walk on the beach with Billy Graham. He's told the story. He tells it in A Charge to Keep, which is his campaign autobiography, about how he was up at Kennebunkport and Billy Graham said, "Are you right with God?" And Bush said, "No, but I'd like to be." And they took what Bush describes as a long walk on the beach and discussed Bush's problems. And he talks about how Billy Graham essentially was the messenger, how Billy Graham changed his life. Well, Billy Graham, when confronted with this story, was always a little bit befuddled because he clearly didn't remember anything like that happening. And at one point he said, "You know, by the way, there isn't actually any beach up there in Kennebunkport." So it wasn't clear where they would have taken a walk. But then I found an interesting source, which was a campaign book written for the religious book market in 1987 about George H.W. Bush, when he was getting ready to run for president. And this was a book that was written by a man named Doug Weed, and it was an effort essentially to present George H.W. Bush, who had always been seen as a very